From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is the Gateway Podcast. It's Wednesday, February 18th. I'm Abby Larico. 60 years since its last piece was put into place, the Gateway Arch has come to symbolize much more than the westward expansion it was built to commemorate.
It contains so many ideas expressed so elegantly.
How its two legs and 630 feet have come to stand for the entire region, coming up after this news. Health officials in Missouri and Illinois say a person with measles may have exposed travelers to the disease at St. Louis-Lambert International Airport. St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gravich reports the infected individual also attended church in Collinsville.
St. Louis health officials say the infected person flew into Lambert Airport on Saturday, February 7th. They were in Terminal 2 in the baggage claim area from 5 to 7 p.m. and also rode on parking spot shuttle number 3. A spokesperson from the Illinois Department of Public Health says the person lives in the Metro East and attended services at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville the next morning. St. Louis Acting Health Commissioner Victoria Onwuori says children are especially at risk as childhood vaccination rates have dropped.
It all goes back to the vaccination rates for measles, mumps, and rubella being lower than herd immunity. So that's why it's so important to know your vaccination status for measles.
According to Illinois data, 17 out of 96 schools in Madison County, where Collinsville is located, have measles vaccination rates below 95%. I'm Katie Gravich, St. Louis Public Radio.
Roundup manufacturer Monsanto has announced a proposed $7.25 billion settlement to resolve claims that the weed killer has caused cancer. The potential settlement is the result of an 18-month mediation between the agribusiness company and plaintiffs who claim exposure to Roundup caused a type of lymphoma. A circuit judge in St. Louis will need to approve the agreement before people can get paid. The settlement takes type of exposure, age of cancer diagnosis, and type of cancer into account. The maximum payout for plaintiffs is close to $200,000. Officials from Monsanto parent company Bayer say they want to minimize litigation costs and wrap up as many lawsuits against the company as possible. A lawyer for the plaintiffs says the settlement would likely apply to most outstanding lawsuits against the company. Thousands of people previously detained at the former Workhouse Jail in St. Louis are now eligible to share a $4 million settlement of a years-long lawsuit. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley has details.
A federal judge recently gave preliminary approval for more than 16,000 people to claim a portion of the settlement. This includes those who were detained at St. Louis's medium security institution between 2012 and 2022. Advocacy firm Arch City Defenders first filed the class action lawsuit against the city in 2017. The jail was defunded in 2021. The lawsuit states it had been plagued by insects, rodents, mold, and sewage backups for years. The funds will be divided by how many days each class member spent inside the workhouse. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis officials may reallocate more than $6 million in American Rescue Plan funds, previously designated for housing and violence prevention programs, to address the city's water system. If approved, the bill will move the money that city officials say programs can no longer use and redirect it toward the city's ailing water mains. Ward 1 Alderwoman Ann Schweitzer sponsored the bill.
What I really like to think about with the water division is that investing in this division is directly investing back into the city and into ratepayers because this is a publicly owned utility.
The city has an internal capital project list totaling more than $700 million in upgrades, repairs, and replacements to the city's water system. The committee will discuss the reallocation further at its next meeting. Officials say St. Louis will run out of money to repair homes damaged by the May 16th tornado in the coming weeks. That is, unless the city gets a lot more money. As STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri reports, more than 3,000 people have applied for help.
STL Recovery head Julian Nix says without more funding, the city's program to repair homes in North St. Louis will run out of funds this spring. That's after the program got off to a rocky start. To date, only about 30 homes have been repaired. At a committee meeting Tuesday, Alderman gave an initial nod to a $3.8 million bump in funding to the program. But Nix says the full repair cost for the homes could reach $150 million.
The total that we have put into home repair as a city combined with state resource so far is at about $16 million. So this would bring us to $20 million, so this would start to make a decent dip in that gap.
Previously, Nix said the city hoped to ramp up the program to repair 40 homes a month and eventually 100 a month. Without intervention, the city will be unable to pay more contractors by April or May. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis County Council is raising the salary of the next county executive. The council voted 6-1 last night to boost the county executive's pay from $140,000 a year to $195,000 a year. Councilwoman Lisa Clancy of Maplewood was the only no vote. Councilman Michael Archer, who sponsored the bill, has said the salary should be increased to be in line with the responsibilities and workload of the job. Unlike some other local government positions in the region, the St. Louis County Executive's role is a full-time job. The office holder cannot have other employment while serving. The raise would go into effect next year. That means it will not affect the salary for current St. Louis County Executive Sam Page, who is not running for another term. St. Louis County is trying to crack down on gaming devices that resemble slot machines. STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum reports that the move from County Executive Page comes after a federal court's ruling.
Page says he's informing unincorporated St. Louis County businesses with liquor licenses that they're not allowed to have what's known as video lottery terminals. Those are devices that look like slot machines that are often in gas stations and convenience stores. Page's executive order comes after a federal judge ruled that video lottery terminals are a form of gambling and therefore are illegal outside of casinos. He says that businesses could have their liquor licenses suspended or revoked if they continue to operate the devices. A spokesman for Torch Electronics, one of the companies that makes the machines, says the company will appeal when a final judgment in the case is delivered. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker will present his 8th annual budget proposal today. It's expected his pitch in the State of the State address will reflect a growing uncertainty over the state's finances. The governor's Office of Management and Budget estimated last fall that there will be a $2 billion deficit the next fiscal year. Most of the gap is driven by the state's spending outpacing revenue growth. In the next couple years, Illinois is also expected to absorb higher costs to administer Medicaid from the federal government, which could be factored into this budget. This will be Pritzker's final budget proposal of his second term. He's currently seeking a rare third term as Illinois' chief executive. The speech will be broadcast live on St. Louis Public Radio at noon today. Republican James Mendrick believes his lengthy experience in law enforcement makes him the right person to challenge Governor Pritzker. Ending Illinois' sanctuary state status and reworking recent criminal justice legislation that ended cash bail are key to his pitch. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer spoke with Mendrick on the Politically Speaking podcast.
Mendrick is a two-term sheriff from suburban DuPage County near Chicago. He says his track record of being a Republican elected in a blue county proves he can work with anyone. Mendrick's primary opponents say they would like to abolish the Safety Act. That legislation eliminated cash bail. While he agrees with their critique, Mendrick says he's more pragmatic. His legislative solution is making all felony and recurring misdemeanor charges detainable.
That'd be the easy fix internally, and I think that I could get immediate support from the Democrats and Republicans, because that would be a pure way to just stop the safety stuff.
Like his Republican opponents, Mendrick says he'd like to audit the state's finances and rein in spending. He'll need to overcome a large fundraising gap to win the GOP primary. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
To hear that full interview, you can find Politically Speaking at stlpr.org, on our app, or wherever you find podcasts like this one. Around 200 people gathered in Jefferson City Tuesday for the annual Hispanic Capital Day. St. Louis Public Radio's Lily Halloran reports attendees called on their representatives to look out for the safety of the state's Hispanic residents.
Many rallygoers carried signs calling for immigration and customs enforcement to stay out of Missouri. Max Bender volunteers with the St. Louis Hispanic Festival Organization. He says the federal immigration enforcement crackdown made this year's Hispanic Capital Day even more important.
We really believe in like speaking with our representatives and just sharing a message of like, you know, we don't feel entirely safe with what's going on right now, and we like to speak with you on like how we can change that, how we can make ourselves feel better, how to make the state of Missouri feel better and welcoming to others.
Bender says he hopes the day's events will encourage legislators from both sides of the aisle to recognize their Hispanic constituents' concerns. In Jefferson City, I'm Lily Halloran, St. Louis Public Radio.
a recently opened exhibit called Hey, There's the Arch at the old courthouse downtown displays logos and symbols featuring the monument. It's part of the 60th anniversary of the arch. Though nobody knew what exactly a monument to westward expansion would look like when it was first ordered built, the eventual winning design from architect Eero Saarinen still rises to the occasion.
There's nothing like it. Nothing even remotely. The scale, the symbolism, it fits so perfectly.
The monument gets a lot of Jennifer Clark's attention, both as museum curator at Gateway Arch Park and as a civilian navigating her adopted hometown.
Well, at first, it really helped keep me from getting lost. I was like, okay, arch in the river, keep that on the right, and I'll know where I'm going.
Clark's found you don't have to be peeking through buildings or around corners to spot the curve as a design element all over the region.
It's meant to talk about the people who went west, the gateway, but it's really become a symbol for people in St. Louis, of home, of St. Louis itself.
Hundreds of businesses and organizations answered a call to submit their logos for a new exhibit that demonstrates how other ventures have adopted the arch. The logo for performing arts organization La Voûte shows a capital V spilling into an arched shape against the colors of the St. Louis flag. Artistic director Brandon Fink says the vision of the memorial is reflective of their own goals.
It's built to stand, it's built to last, and we want people to know where we come from. And there is world-class art here in St. Louis, and we aim to share that not only within our own community, but abroad.
The Unseen St. Louis project shares lesser-known stories of the area. Still, its logo features the familiar, the arch, just flipped upside down to make the U in Unseen. Historian Jackie Dana says it's still the best shorthand for the city.
It's part of my logo for a project that I very much love and is very important to me, and the arch is a part of that. So it's almost like the arch is a part of me in a way.
The arch is a simple curve that graphic designer Eric Tokey says calls to mind both a classic Arc de Triomphe and a portal to the future, a conquest of the people.
It's an expression of movement. It's spectacular. I've always said it's the best work of modernist sculpture anywhere in this country. It contains so many ideas expressed so elegantly.
The symbolic potential may be irrefutable, but the arch grounds literally overlay what was once a densely populated black neighborhood. The westward expansion it commemorates meant staking claim to land from beneath the feet of Native peoples. That context is acknowledged throughout the Arch Park's exhibits, including this one, but the arch itself has largely escaped the re-examination and reckoning that so many other public works have faced in recent years. Tolkien theorizes it's because it's a memorial that's never looked back.
This is a city that approached that opportunity to put a memorial to Thomas Jefferson and westward expansion up and chose the most metaphorical, the most elegant, the most oblique answer. Saarinen's great contribution to us was putting a reminder in our front lawn that says, go for the big idea.
He says that's what makes it such a good icon for the city. Jennifer Clark says she simply can't stop spotting the arch since starting work on the exhibit. It's proof that even the national park itself can't wholly claim it anymore.
Definitely fair to say the community has adopted the arch as their own.
For St. Louisans looking to find their way and to establish themselves, hey, look, there's the arch. Thanks to my editor, Jonathan All, for working with me on that one. And congratulations to you for checking out at least one depiction of the arch already today. If you're unsure about what I'm talking about, take another look at our logo for this podcast. Pretty nice, right? The Gateway Podcast is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.